This is an exciting time, isn't it, for all of those families and some others that are going through this all across East Tennessee. It's an exciting and a very emotional time. I have four children. All of them have graduated from high school and college, and so I know the feelings you're going through and what's happening along the line. And it can be very difficult time for some, you know, when they first start going to school, and then as they get older and they start going out more and more on their own, they graduate from high school, and then they go and they graduate from college sometimes, and they move on, and it's hard on parents when that happens, isn't it? Shake your head like this, parents. Yeah, it's hard on us when that happens. But what I've discovered is the only thing really hard about it is the transition time. Transition from one stage of parenting to the next stage, those are hard. But every stage is great. It was great when they were children. It was almost great when they were teenagers. It was great when they were in college, and it was great when they got married. And every stage is great. And now all four of my children are some of my best friends. It will happen with you if you've done your job of parenting and doing what you need to do. And Zach, I've watched you play every game almost you played, except one at Teleco Plains. I didn't want to go that far. But watched him play all the games, and he's been a real example of the kind of students that we have here. And I know that you have at King's Academy and Maryville High School and the other schools as well that are represented. So if you're worried about time, don't, because my time doesn't start till everybody else stops. And so I've got a message I want to share with you. We've been talking about, you know, the family treasure, and I've told you about how to pray for your family, how to lose your family. And today I want to talk about discipline. And the discipline aspect of it fits in with everything that's going on here at this stage in the lives of everyone. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 is where I'm going to look in just a minute. But people are still buying cigarettes, whether you believe that or not. Maybe some of you. Do you ever read the warning label on the cigarette package? If you don't read it, you ought to read it before you pick up the next package. You know, you ought to read this. And it says this: Surgeon General's warning in big letters. Smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. Every pack of cigarettes, go on. Do you know that 15% of the population in America is still smoking in spite of that warning that's been there for about 40 or 50 years now? It has been changed a little bit, but it's basically the same thing. That's 36 million Americans. And out of those 36 million Americans, 480,000 people smokers in the U.S. die as a result of smoking. About 41,000 of them die from secondhand smoke. Simply means that somebody's not reading the warning label, or somebody thinks that there's going to be something different about them. So because of that warning, millions of Americans don't smoke today that at one time they did. And smoking is decreasing in every age group in America except for one: teenagers. Teenagers are still trying to look like an adult, even though they don't act like an adult all the time. They are ignoring the warning around it. And some of them are developing the dangerous habit of smoking. They're hoping the Surgeon General's warning is wrong, that it doesn't apply to them. Or they're going to be an exception to the rule for whatever reason. But because we are in the land of the free, here in America, you still have the freedom in America to smoke. But if you do, your life will be shortened, and your health will suffer. You've been warned by the Surgeon General of the United States of America. But you have the freedom as an American to do all of that. If you're a parent and you want to build a strong legacy into your children, I want to share another warning with you from the Apostle Paul. It's a warning that should be taught to every child. Warning. Disobedience to your parents is hazardous to your health. And I'm going to show you why the Bible says that. Not in those words, but it says exactly the same thing. That's our scripture today. And I want you to look at it. It's a warning, but it's a warning in a positive sense, not a negative sense. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. Let's stand together as we look at this and then ask God's blessing upon what we are about to learn and what we're about to find here today. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. I'm going to tell you what the promise is. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Amen. You may be seated. That's the warning in a positive sense. Now, he's referencing one of the Ten Commandments, which says, honor your father and your mother so that you, here's the promise, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So the promise of that commandment is that if you honor your father and mother, then you'll be able to live long in the land where God's doing. Now, the promise he's referencing is the Ten Commandments. If you put Paul's warning, though, that I read in Ephesians, in a negative form, it sounds like this. Warning, if you disobey your parents, your life won't go well for you, and you will die a premature death. That's exactly what he said. He's giving you a warning, only in a positive sense. And the negative sense is a real warning. Wait a minute, Ron. You can't make a federal case out of a child picking up toys, not doing what he's told, not going where she says she's going to go, not about being coming home 30 minutes late, sassing parents. You can't make that a capital offense, can you? No, I can't, but God says it can be a capital offense for a child to disobey a parent. So if you're a parent today, grandparent today, if you're a young person here today, that means that all of us in some way or another, you can learn something from the warning that Paul gives to you so that you will live a life that is done well and you will not die a premature death. That's the promise. First of all, I want you to see the mandates from God that he's given about disciplining children. The first one is a biblical mandate for discipline. Listen to what the Bible says about obedience. Leviticus 20, verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. How'd you like that one? Teenagers, that wouldn't go over well today, would it? All right. He has cursed his father and his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Wow. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Pretty vivid. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. So, obeying your parents is serious business to the Lord. He's very clear in his word that disobeying your parents is hazardous to your health. I know some of you hard-shell and hard-headed Baptists are saying, well, that's in the Old Testament, Ron, so that doesn't apply to us today because we're under grace. We're not under the Mosaic law anymore, all right? Let me show you what the New Testament says about Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. They have become filled, talking about humankind, have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Did you hear that? In the midst of some of the most horrible, horrific, terrible sins that mankind can commit, in the middle of that cesspool of sins, he includes those who disobey their parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Paul describes signs of the last days. He says this, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. We've got that going today, don't we? Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. So the Bible over and over again warns you that disobeying your parents is inviting the judgment of God upon you. It will shorten your life or bring God's judgment upon you. Then you go ahead and dishonor your parents, and that's what's going to happen to you in this process. But if you want God's wrath on you, dishonor your parents. The Bible mandate is a clear warning. Disobedience to your parents is hazardous to your health. But let's look at the parental mandate for discipline. All right, Proverbs 22:6, we all know that verse. Train a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not turn from it. I about a young employee who was leaving the company, so he was went into his boss's office on the last day to say goodbye to him, and the boss said, "Son, I'm so sorry to see you go here today. You've been like a son to me. Sassy, demanding, and unappreciative." See, some people take this verse from Proverbs about training up a child and they'll never leave as a promise that every child brought up in a Christian home by godly parents who teach them the right way may go away from God, but before they die, they'll come back to him. That's what we want. We want to see it as a promise in that sense. But we all know parents that were sincere and they raised children up in a godly home and had them in church all the time, but when they got to a certain age, they went off on their own and they never came back. And so when we all know examples like that, then we have to know that maybe this needs to be looked at a little more closely. I think that verse is a promise, but I don't think it's a promise to prodigal children. I think it's a command for parents to discipline their children so they can help develop them into the men and the women that God intends for them to be. So listen, parents, discipline isn't an option for you. It's a mandate. It's a command from the Lord. And here's some reasons why. Number one, the reason for discipline. He says, train up a child in the way that he should go. That means that every child is a unique creation from God. Every child, they were given your genes and your chromosomes, and you've given them what I some people call a bent. Because of the genes and the chromosomes and the way that you're brought up, you have a bent in your life. You have some things that you lean toward. You have a propensity to do some things. Some people have the propensity in athletics. Some have the propensity in math. Some have the propensity in talking and being with people. There are all kinds of ways, things that we just naturally lean to. No one had to tell me to pick up a baseball and throw it. I mean, that was just something that was a natural instinct for me. Some of you know people, some of you probably, you picked up a musical instrument. No one had to teach you how to do it. You sat and played with it for a little bit, and all of a sudden you could play that instrument to some degree. All right. So that's what I'm saying. There is a way that God created you, and a place and a purpose that he has for you in this world. So that propensity that you have, that inclination that you have, that tendency that you have, is what God wants your parents to look at, to learn about, and then guide you in that direction to be able to develop those tendencies and those talents and those instincts to be able to help you fulfill your will that God's placed within you for the world. That's your purpose in life. That's what he wants you to do. So we're supposed to train up. A parent's job is to give the child every opportunity to discover their God-given purpose in life, to help them sharpen those skills and develop those talents so they can accomplish God's purpose. And they won't get misdirected into something that is not going to bring the best out of them. But here's the problem. Since all of our children are born with a sin nature that they inherited from you, by the way, and me, parents, we are God's initial instruments to try to control that rebellious nature that is already inside of him that they inherited from us. So God's process of dealing with the sin nature of your child is what I'm talking about today. Discipline. The sin nature that is in every child that's born into this world is to be able to brought into subjection to God's discipline. And that's our job. We are the first ones as the parents. We are the first and primary person that God puts into that child's life to be able to discipline them so they can become everything that God intended for them to become, and they would reach their fullness and they would have the abundant life that God wants them to have and to be able to minister to the needs of the world around them as He intends for them to do as well. God's process is about discipline. And in the formative years, that discipline comes primarily from the parents. There are three forms of life in this world. Unconscious life. That's the plants and trees. I know some people think they're alive, but it's unconscious life. All right? And then there's animal life, which includes your cat and dog. And I hate to describe this way, but your dog is not a person, so quit talking to him. All right? He doesn't understand a word you're saying. He just wants to know if you have another treat for it. That's all he cares about. And then there's the conscious life, where most of you are today. There's a couple of question marks, but most of you are conscious in that conscious life stage. The Bible doesn't talk about an age of accountability. We do. We talk a lot about the age of accountability, but the Bible doesn't talk about it like we do. But it does talk about our ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Everybody has, at some point, the ability to distinguish that this is right and this is wrong. And we know where that is and what that is. And when a child becomes conscious of the fact that something is wrong, but they still choose to do it anyway, that's where they reach the point where they become accountable for their conscious sin and they need to be saved. That age is different from each child. But when that child sees that this is right, but I'm not going to do it, or this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway, then that's what we can say. That's the age of accountability, because they did something that they knew they should not have done along the way. Children learn right and wrong when they are little through reward and punishment, just like an animal does. Reward and punishment. You can't reason with a 2-year-old, can you? You can't reason with a 3-year-old. You can reward him or you can punish him, but you're not going to be able to reason with them. You have to train them. How do you train them? Through reward and punishment. You give them a treat when they get on the potty chair and they finally do something, all right? And you give them a treat, don't you? And you clap and you just sing for them. You do whatever you want. You just reward them. Why? Because you want to get a bad behavior out and you want to get some good behavior in. Reward and punishment works very well in that process. When they do something wrong, you may slap their hand or gently swat them on the bottom to deal with them when they do something wrong, because you can't reason with them. You can't reason with a 2 or 3-year-old. They're not developed to that point, all right? But now let's talk about the requirement for discipline, all right? It happens so quickly in us. It happens so quickly. A beautiful baby comes into our lives, and we feed that baby and we care for that child because they're so sweet and they're so innocent and they smile at us and they kick their feet and wave their hands and look at us and they coo and they sit up and they walk and they talk and then they say their favorite first word. No. No. Yeah, they just say that first word, no. And you see that sin nature start. Not long after that, out of those beautiful children comes the faithful words they learn how to put together. I do it myself. I do it myself. And from that point on, the battle lines are drawn. They're going to say, no, I don't want to eat that asparagus. And I understand that. All right. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to do that. No. Do that. You need to go over. You need to pick up your toy. No. The battle lines are drawn. Children want to do things their way, right? Where did they get that? From you and me. We're all that way. We want things done our way. We like it when we sing the kind of music we like, and we don't like it when we sing the kind of music somebody else likes. Right? We want what we want when we want it. That's the way we all are. That's the natural nature that every one of us has and we bring in to our world. So children want to do things their way, and they will resist anything that prevents them from having their way. As you discipline them, a few of them will give in early. There are some children that are what we call compliant children to a degree. They're compliant. You tell them that this is where it needs. I have one of my sons never had to spank in his life. Not when he was 1 year old, 2 years old, three, four, never had to spank him. All I'd have to do is say, Trent, and get his attention. Don't do that. And that's the way he was. He would respond. I had a couple of them, You know, James Dobson called them strong-willed children. And that means, all that means is it's going to take a whole lot more discipline to get them than the compliant child. Both of them are the same, but some respond differently to discipline than the others respond to discipline. And if you only have one child and that's a perfect child, like our one son was, who was 9 years younger than all the rest of them, which was one reason why that happened, of course, main reason, then you may think you're the best parent in the world. But see, if you have, sometimes God will give you another surprise or something, a couple of them, just to be able to prove to you that you're not as smart as you think you are. And that strong-willed child is one that's been labeled that. James Dobson, I think, is the one who labeled the strong-willed child. But you want them to do things your way. And no matter what you do, it seems like they're still saying, I do it myself. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. But then they go over and they do it the way they want to do it. It's the way that you told them to do it. There is that will within them. The Bible doesn't call them strong-willed, or the Bible doesn't blame it on some kind of medical condition. The Bible says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now that's a clinical term that the Bible uses. Proverbs 12:1. A child like that will upset the entire family, right? We had one or maybe even two of those out of our four strong-willed children. Let me describe what I'm talking about. There was a girl who wrote a letter to Ann Landers. Remember her? Used to write the column, I think, some of her daughters or somebody else writes her column now. And it said, this girl wrote in and said, Dear Ann Landers, I'm a 16-year-old girl who is a nervous wreck from getting yelled at by my parents. All I hear from morning till night is, stop smoking, get off the phone, hang up your clothes, do your homework, clean up your room. How can I get them off my case? Signed, Sick of Parents. And Landers wrote back and gave her this reply. Dear Sick, stop smoking, get off the phone, hang up your clothes, do your homework, clean up your room. It's pretty easy. See, this isn't brain surgery, kids. It's not brain surgery at all. If you want to keep your parents off your back, and if you want to have a great relationship with them, just do what they tell you to do when they tell you to do it. Amen, parents? Amen. Amen. That's the way it works. You don't have to be bickering back and forth. Just do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, the way they told you to do it, and you won't have any hassle with them. Here's why you should do it. That's the way you get along with your parents, but that's also the way you get along with God. Do what God says, the way He says it, and when he says to do it. Don't argue. Don't debate with him. Don't make excuses. Don't ignore him. Because obedience is what builds a great relationship with God, as well as a relationship, great relationship with your parents. If you don't have that great relationship, instead of looking at your parents and blaming them for what they've done to you and all that, look at what you're doing in response to the obedience and the discipline that they're offering you. I would say there are probably some adults here who are suffering today because they never learned obedience as a child. See, there's some that just resist, and those are the ones who become prodigals. They go against everything mom and dad says because I do it myself. I'm going to do it myself. And they just take off to the far country, wherever that is, and they want to do because they never learned obedience as a child. They couldn't accept it. There may be some women here today who rebelled against their parents as a teenager, and today they're rebelling against their husband or anyone else who tries to tell them what to do and how to do it. There are some husbands, or there's some men here today who rebelled against the authority of their parents, and today they're rebelling against the authority of their boss, and they can't hold a job. Everywhere they go, it's all, boss is terrible, he's always saying this, and he's dumb, and he doesn't know what, and he just didn't learn obedience to authority. So you can't hold a job. That'll make you suffer for the rest of your life along the way. There are some church members who never learned how to be disciplined to authority, and so they rebelled against the God-given authority of their pastor. And always thought that these people always think they know more than the pastor knows. And they always know what's better for the church than the pastor knows, when the Bible teaches that the spiritual leader of the church is the pastor. And if you never learned authority when you were growing up, you could be a thorn in the side of a pastor who is the authority figure within the church that God has placed there. See, some of you are still having trouble with authority figures in your life because you never learned how to be obedient to your parents' authority. And because you never learned that, you're still suffering from it. Still suffering from it because it impacts all of your life. And young people, listen to me. God gave you your parents for a guide, to be your guide. They are your God-given guiders, guidance counselors. That's who they are. That's what they're trying to do. If you can't yield to the God-given authority of your parents, you will never become all that God created you to become. You will always be held back. There will always be something in you that says, I'm not going to do what he said or she said. And it will impact you. It will hurt you in every relationship, and you go. You have been warned today. And then thirdly, the resources for discipline that God has given to us. How do you discipline your child so they'll conform to God's will? What do you do? How do you do it? So many books are written about how to discipline children, but what does the Bible say about that? Well, the Bible says you should do it with the rod or stick, or as I knew it, the switch. You know, I don't know if you've ever known. We had a big maple tree out in our front yard, and not that I ever did very much wrong, but I never did very much right. But I can still see my mom going out there when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, reaching up and pulling down one of the branches, taking the butcher knife and whipping that thing off, and then skinning it down and getting all the leaves off, and then grabbing me by one hand and just taking me around in a circle. You know, I know that's child abuse today, and I thought it was back then too. But I didn't get that nearly as many times as I should have gotten it. I know that. If you listen to what's going on, already some of you are in shock. You're in shock. Well, we can't do that to children. We shouldn't do that to children. It's wrong. Well, if you think a few psychologists have more wisdom than God, then you need to get ready for some other issues as you try to raise your children. How many of you ever experienced the switch? All right. And look how it warped us. I mean, look how it warped us, right? Yeah. Well, every child is different, right? I've got four children, all different. Couldn't treat any of them the same way about everything. You always had to look at them and find out what the best discipline is for each child. You take things away from them. You send them to their room. There's no TV. They don't get to play in the ball game this week. It depends upon the child. I don't believe a parent should ever strike a child with their hand. You should never use your hand to discipline a child. Your hand should be for love. I like what my daughter-in-law, who's a teacher at Grace Academy, she, when her children were little, she had a wooden spoon. And all she had to do, she didn't have to use it very often, but all the time, except for her one son. takes after somebody, I'm not sure who he is, but... All she had to do after a while, especially for the girls, is pick up that wooden spoon. She didn't have to use it. It's a symbol of discipline. You don't want to hold up your hand to scare your child. Right? That child is to comfort the child. That hand is to comfort that child. That hand is to be able to go to the child after the discipline is completed and put that hand on the child and let that child know how much they're loved. And so the discipline should not be that way to be able to hurt someone. Spanking a child is effective only until they're about 6, 7, 8 years of age. Anytime after that, you're wasting your time. They'll just look at you as my grandson does and just smile. Yeah, just to show you how tough he is. See, it just doesn't do much good after that age. So that's when you need to discipline by talking to them. You can talk to them at any age, but as they get older, beyond this age, you can begin to talk to them a little bit more. They'll begin to listen to you and understand and reason a little bit more. Give them extra work to do because that's their punishment for whatever it is. Take away privileges. If you do a good job of discipline in the spanking years, those days will be over very, very soon, and there won't be very much use for that. You just have to remember it's your house. It's your room, not theirs. It's your child, and it's your responsibility to discipline your children. The third thing I'll share with you today is the spiritual mandate of discipline. There's a spiritual mandate of discipline. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves." The Lord disciplines those that he loves. When God disciplines us, it's a sign that he loves us. When you discipline your child properly, it proves that you love him or her. If you are a permissive parent and you don't believe in discipline and you just want to kind of be a freewheeling, kind of let them do whatever they want the way they want, if that's you're that permissive kind of parent, and you say you're not going to discipline them because you love them so much, you need to listen to God's words of wisdom. He who spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is careful to discipline him. It's important that parents understand the difference between discipline and punishment. They're not the same. They're not the same. And you have to know that, and you have to communicate that. James Dobson has a very good book on it, that parenting isn't for cowards. It's an old book, but it's still very, very necessary for today. God never punishes his children. God never punishes his children. But he does discipline them. All the punishment for all of our sins were placed upon one person, right? It was on Calvary. On the day that Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary, all of my sins, past, present, and future, were placed upon him. And because he took the punishment for my sins, I don't have to take the punishment for my sins. Right? That's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. What's the difference then between punishment and discipline? Well, the purpose of punishment is to inflict a penalty upon the person who did something wrong. You want to inflict punishment. You want to make them suffer because of it. Our prison system today is not into discipline. It's into punishment. We want to put them, men and women, into the prison, and we want them to suffer for the crimes that they have committed. And it is designed not to discipline them, but to punish them. Punishment is to penalize you for what you did wrong in the past, right? You're going to punish you for what you did wrong in the past. It looks backwards into our past and holds you accountable for the disobedience in your life. Now, the purpose of discipline, though, is opposite of that. It's to promote growth. It's not to hurt you. It's not to punish you. It's to help you and help you to grow. You discipline someone because you say, that's not good enough for you. You can do better than that. You are a better person than that. And I want you to become that better purpose, that better person. I want to correct my children. I want to train them, and I want to make them better. So where the focus of the punishment is on the past, the focus of discipline is on the future. Discipline them for what they did in the past to make them suffer. But now I want to punish them, but I want to discipline them now so that the future will be better. And they will not do that, but they will be better. They will understand more. They will not have to suffer as much in the future if they listen to the discipline that we have in our lives for them today. Never discipline your child when you're angry, because an angry parent is out to punish a child. And your job is not to punish. And you'll punish not just because of maybe the whatever force you use to be able to punish them, but the look on your face and the tone of your voice and the body language that you offer will teach your children to be afraid of you. Teach your children to be afraid of you. So you never discipline your child when you're angry. The motivation behind a parent's discipline is love. I'm going to discipline you because I love you. I'm not going to discipline you because I'm angry with you. That's what the Bible said that we read just a minute ago in Hebrews. The Lord disciplines those he loves. And he disciplines only his own children, right? I don't discipline other people's children. You don't discipline other people's children, do you? Now, I've been in Food City a couple of times when I wished I could have helped somebody else. They definitely needed some help in that process, but I will discipline my own children. You know why? Because I love them. And I want them to be successful. I don't know about the other. I wish the other one's happiness and success, but I can't play a part in their lives because I can't discipline somebody else's. But I can, and I must, and I'm commanded to discipline my own children. So the result of angry punishment is fear, guilt, and more anger from different people. The result of discipline is security, and it gives the child a sense of knowing that they're loved. They feel secure because they know, God, Mom and Dad, they care about me. I don't like the decision they made, but I know they're making this decision because they care about me and they want the best for me, and they don't want me to do something that will hurt me and put me in a place where it will keep me from becoming everything that I want. So they feel secure because he or she knows that they've been given parameters and boundaries and rules in their life to protect them. A fence is to protect a home, a family, a country. Why do some kids grow up in Christian homes and then reject their parents' faith? A lot of reasons for that, but I believe some parents are good with discipline, but sometimes they're not good with affectionate love. And sometimes they're better with punishment than they are with discipline anyway. And so they punish in anger. And the Bible warns parents about treating your children in such a way that they can become resentful. They can become angry people. They can become bitter. They can be filled with fear and guilt and all of those things. Punishment can produce emotions inside of a child that will boil over one day and explode in rebellion and go in a whole different direction than what they ever should have. We're to discipline our children the way God disciplines us. How does he do that? Grace and love. grace and love. If we got what we deserved, none of us would be here. I did get spanked a lot when I was a kid. Not nearly as much as I deserved. Not nearly as much as I deserved. And I know that now, but I was proud of it back then. God gives us what we need, not what we deserve, and that's why He disciplines us. Young people, if you learn the principles God is trying to teach you through your parents' discipline, it will pave the way for you to have a successful life. It will pave the way for you to have a successful career. It will pave the way for you to have a maybe one day be a successful parent yourself. It can save you a lot of headaches, a lot of heartaches, and a lot of bad things in your future. But if you don't learn the biblical lessons that I'm talking about today, it may cost you one day a good marriage because of the lack of discipline. And you're still going around saying, no, I want it and do it my way. It may cost you a good job in your career because you can't get along with your boss. It can cost you a good job. It may send you to jail. I could give you names of undisciplined kids who rejected the discipline and they're in jail today. Or it may even cost you your life. Warning, disobeying your parents is hazardous to your health. Parents, children, you've been warned by God's word today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and sometimes it comforts us, and sometimes it challenges us. Sometimes it corrects us. And Lord, today I pray that whatever your purpose is for this message, for these words, that you will help us to be able to understand them and apply them to our lives. We thank you for the graduates that are here. Those from high school, those from college, and others that are going out and starting their careers. We thank you for all of them, Lord. And I pray for the parents that are here who still have children in their homes and still have the authority to be able to give them a day-by-day discipline that will help them to grow up. Lord, open the eyes and open the hearts of parents. Help them to learn, read the Bible, understand the Bible, and then put it into practice, even in raising their children, that your will would be done. Lord, your word is our strength, and your word is our guide. And so I pray that you'll use that word to guide the parents and guide the young people here today, Lord, that are struggling in our day and age to become whatever it is you want them to become. But they have so many outside influences on them, so many other things that are contradicting what the Bible says and what we know that God wants from us and from them. So, Lord, I pray today that you will help us to become the kind of families that we need to become, that in your presence we will be the kind of parents and the kind of children that can lift up the name of Jesus Christ by our words, by our actions, and by the way that we serve other people. Lord, may your will be done, and may we experience your blessing in all of our families as we seek to live for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.